Hi, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm here today with Kat Rambo. Kat Rambo, medicine woman, bridges ancient wisdom and modern insight to awaken human potential, blending shamanic ceremony, energy healing, and herbalism with tools like NLP and hypnosis. She guides reconnection with wholeness and purpose. Through coaching, ceremony, and teaching, she makes growth accessible, grounded, and efficient. It's time for us to feel free and expansive. And her quote is, "The secret to rapid and sustainable evolution is balanced integration." Okay, we're done. That's it. We got the pith. We've got the whole shebang. Well, welcome, Kat. I am so happy to talk with you today. Let's get into it. Let's talk about like your journey and where you started and what your turning point is and where you are now.
Right. That's a small question, right?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
First, thank you so much.
Three sentences or less.
Right. God. It's a haiku that I'll give you, right?
Wow. Tall order.
Thank you so much for having me. I love your mission and I love that. I love what you're sharing because I feel like, you know, in the past, life changes were only for a midlife crisis, but now we have access to information and resources and opportunities like never before. And the reinvention process is so available and we should, why not? Right. And so I'm watching people come into my practice having a midlife crisis way sooner and sometimes way later or having multiple of them. And I love it. I love those transition spaces. And I think what you're doing is empowering that process. And I love that. So thank you for having me. I love it. I'm grateful to share this space with you. My own identity crisis came a little bit early too. I started school in physics, like quantum mechanics, aerospace, engineering, like all very small, very large, anything without answers. That's what I wanted. And then I switched to finance. I had a career in finance doing C-suite stuff. You know, I did this CFO thing for a while. I did commercial real estate, mortgage note placement, investing, very technical, very numbers, data driven, very male dominated, very action oriented type of energy. And I liked it, you know, but I was still in this like weird seeking purpose and meaning in life. I never really was in love with that. I'd find reasons to be excited and self-motivate, but I knew that there was something else. And I went through.
Yeah. And it seems like you were like really focused on these very, very analytical spaces, right? And the interesting thing about analytical spaces is that there is a right and a wrong, whereas in real life, maybe things are more complicated.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't think of it that way. I really like the way you put that. Because yeah, you can get creative, but I mean, there's laws and regulations. There's a way of doing things. There's the form you have to fill out. There is a right and a wrong way of doing things. And no matter how much creativity that you give to your process, it is or it isn't that way. I like how you put that. It's interesting. Yes, very analytical. But I liked that. I found comfort in the truth that numbers offer. There's a security in that rigidity. You know, this is the way things are. This is the rule. This is how you do it. And so the little creativity that afforded me was fun and playful, but everything else was structured and organized, right? And I liked the stability of that, I think. But also I liked what the finance world gave me, you know, travel and money and meeting people. But then I went through what a lot of different cultures call different things, but we can call it the new way of saying it's called shaman sickness. I got sick and then my whole life fell apart and I had to learn how to help myself. And then I opened an herbalism brand. I took that same precision of my science background and research and paired it with the rigor of the finance, synthesizing information, bringing together a lot of data that the finance experience had brought me, and put that into the herbalism practice and started working really quickly. It was just for me. And then, well, my friends needed things. And then, well, their friends needed things. And then all of a sudden I'm being asked like, why are you keep doing this? Open something. I'm like, oh, that's right. I work in business. I can open something. It's a business. So I'm like, okay, let's pair these together and make something. And I had a great time at an apothecary wellness center. I had other practitioners working under me. It was great. And then I realized that there was still, it was sort of like half-half. I was sort of one foot in one world, one foot in the other, sort of moonlighting, you know, still doing business consulting in my apothecary, like, which was fun, but still didn't feel like full authenticity, but better. And I liked better. Then I went through the lose everything phase. And I had a partner at the time and did that relationship very dramatically. And then I had another health issue. And then my last three big clients all lost them all within like 48 hours, crashed my car, like everything, right? And My mother came to pick me up from the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was laughing. And I know that sounds nuts. And she, of course,
you were laughing.
Yeah, she said, "Did you hit your head? Like, what happened? You know?" It was like all banged up coming from out of it. I totaled the car. It was bad. And I was laughing because, one, I was grateful that I was not in worse shape, first of all. But second, I had my whole life been sort of secretly moonlighting in these skills, the NLP, the hypnosis, the tarot reading, the herbalism, the root work. I grew up in this magic tradition. I grew up in that like mindset stuff. And so it was for me anyway. And thankfully, because it gave me the perspective at the time that made the process a lot easier, it could have been a lot harder. But I knew I was being given a fresh start. It wasn't that all of this was being taken away. It's that I was being gifted a clean slate. And so I did the one thing that I never did in my whole life, which was sit still and wait and start negotiating with God like we all do in those moments. I'll do it if it comes to me, I'll do it. I wanted things to be easy and in flow. I had worked so hard for nothing. And it seemed like something at the time, but it just wasn't perfect, you know, and what is in life? So I sat still and I immediately received, the message came immediately. It was so fast and so clear. I received 3 or 4 phone calls in rapid succession all within a couple of days. And they all said the same thing. Some people I knew, some people I did not know. And they all said, I need to change my life and you're going to help me do it.
What do I know?
That directly? that directly? These words, it was so clear. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you want from me, but I will talk to you on the phone. And it worked. And everybody evolved their life really quickly and said, oh, thanks. I knew you could help me. I'm like, I don't even know what I did really. So I flung myself back into the education and learned how to become excellent at the skills that now I use in my practice. But it was, again, very technical and very analytical. Anything that had to do with neuroscience and motivation and research-backed meditation practices and mindset tools and NLP and like everything very technical. And then also at the same time, what swelled up was the sacred medicine practices and studying under master teachers in shamanic disciplines, mostly from South America. And it's something that I always liked and I always enjoyed for myself and never considered doing as like a job. It's not a real job, right?
No, I mean, it depends on who you talk to, but yeah.
Right. Well, you know, as my father said, no one's going to pay you to interpret their dreams. That's not a real job. And I said, okay, I'm going to try it anyway. So I made this pact with whatever and said, this is what I'll do. So I did it. And to this day, almost a decade later, I'm having the time of my life. But I'm grateful that in a lot of ways, I was required to have that transition. And so my friends joke with me, you're another case of someone who doesn't use their education and their work. And I always respond, au contraire. I use everything that I learned because one, I have my own practice, so I have to apply my business development skills. So sales and marketing is all about communication, which NLP and hypnosis also is, and coaching and therapy is also all communication. So absolutely, those skills translate and provide a foundation. I'm super data-driven, which I think makes me excellent in my craft because I'm not just fixated on the like soft anecdotal evidence of my work, but also what's coming out now that there's a lot more research happening and where are the data points that causes my practice to continue to grow. I've evolved my practice dramatically. It's no longer very traditional. It's now an evolutionary mixing of these modern tools and mindset needs of the modern human in the Western world, plus this ancient wisdom and where they can meet in the middle, where sometimes they don't, sometimes they're not compatible perspectives. And being able to synthesize that data and that information and those viewpoints totally comes from aptitude in like marketing and negotiating that came out of business space. So I totally feel like these are useful skills that I use all the time in my practice and don't feel like it was a waste at all. In fact, I feel like not only am I more grateful for what I do now, but also this background in rigor gave me the way of thinking that has produced excellence in my craft now. So I don't think it's a huge transition at all now looking at it. At the time, it felt like a total life upside down flip, right? But now it doesn't feel like a big transition because I see where it's coming together. And my fixation now is on Shin, which is how you take your ceremony experience and turn it into a real life change, right? Mm-hmm. And also how to understand visionary states. We don't really even interpret dreams in our culture. You expect to understand a visionary state, you know? But learning things like intuition and psychic skills, if you will, and plant medicine work and herbalism and all these like soft, squishy, talking to spirits, like this kind of stuff, right? Ancestor work feels very, mm-hmm. like, very fairy. But I've brought a level of sophistication and technical acumen to it that has totally elevated the practice and been super efficient and beneficial for my clients, for my own self and my journey, and definitely gives me a unique flair in my practice. And I think is what is, it's the reason that I was able to take this ancient wisdom practice and upgrade it into this modern space where we can actually receive its teachings better, you know, and make use of it. Hence in my little intro, grounded, efficient, effective, you know, it sounds technical, but it is all soft and fun still. Dreams are weird. Visions are cool. Like it's joyful and fun, but also it's poignant, it's profound, and it's effective. And I love being able to bring that together. Does that make sense? It was like a little long-winded. Did I answer your question?
Oh, so good. I'm writing down all the stuff that I can ask you about. Oh my gosh. That's great. Okay. First of all, I'm taking good notes. I would love it if you would compare, because it seems like you had these two different moments where you had like what you're calling shaman sickness, where basically, you know, the world said, okay, you're going to listen and I'm going to make you listen, right? So you had two different moments when that happened. Can you kind of compare, like, why was the second one so much more effective than the first one? Or do you think it was just like an evolution and the first one was like, hey, wake up. And the second one is like, stop.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think, and I would say that situation with getting sick and none of the medication worked. It was an argument with the insurance, blah, blah, blah. Modern Western medicine failed me. I had to go back to my roots, root work that I grew up with, the herbal remedies, the natural wellness that I grew up with, magic and witchcraft. My family's Cajun from Louisiana, so there's a lot of that in my family. But it really brought me back to myself, my roots and my self-knowing, and something that was joyful for me that I didn't really value when I was younger. Because I'd never really realized that wasn't something that everyone did. It was just kind of part of how life is. You know, I remember the first time I brought my tarot deck to school and the people around me were like, oh my God, what is that? You're crazy. Are you a witch? I'm like, well, yeah, are you? You know, like I was totally confused that that's not what normal people do. I'm grateful now. At the time, it was all very confusing and very uncool. But I would say the first time it happened was actually younger. I suffered from horrific nightmares. It was bad. I was medicated. I wouldn't sleep for days, you know. And at the time, you had to actually convince your parents to bring you to the library to look things up, to learn things. Now you can go on the internet. And I think that's what really kickstarted this fixation with visionary states, the subconscious mind, the inner workings. Where does that information come from? Why do we know things we shouldn't know? And that obsession started much younger. So in a weird way, looking back, I can see where all of these little moments like this that at the time felt really big, but also useless. Like I work as a CFO. What does anyone care about how you interpret your dreams? You know what I mean? It seemed pointless. Now all of these pointless, sort of weird personal hobbies have become the center point of my life and profession. So I think in a way, the path was chipping away at me and preparing me. So by the time I did step into this space very fully, I was so not overwhelmed by it. I was so in love with it. It suddenly felt like everything made sense. Suddenly felt like all these weird skills and aptitudes and interests fell into one basket at once, finally. So I think the final taking away of everything was the push that I needed to say yes to doing something that was outside of the comfort zone of my identity, which is I'm smart choices, I'm educated, I'm professional, you know, I'm smart, you know, I kick ass even in male-dominated fields, you know, I'm a crusher, sales closer, you know, I had these ideas about who I was and what's a real job and how to have a good life and be a productive member of society. And none of these things were that. They were all just kind of like kind of in the quiet corner of my personal life. So I think I needed that shove to redefine my identity and my beliefs around what's possible in life and what's acceptable. I think I needed that because I wasn't going to give myself permission to go full time like that. I was still, even when I had my apothecary, I was still moonlighting doing business consulting. You know what I mean? I was never going to make a full bush. Yeah. So I think life said, okay, well, how about now? And threw me off the cliff. But I had
I think that's like the main message of like most of the people I'm talking to, because you don't realize how unique your experience is. And you don't realize like that you grow up with these things. You have these special interests and you're like, oh, that's just a hobby. My identity isn't that I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing the CFO. I'm supposed to be doing like, that's my real identity. But then I think after a way, time chips away at you and you're like, wow, not everybody has those experiences I had. I thought those were just like a normal thing.
Exactly.
Right?
I think it's so essential to trust the the process, like the transformation process, because transition spaces are notoriously sloppy. They're challenging.
Yeah.
They dig at our deepest levels, identity and belief stuff. That's my weakness now. I can't get enough of those transition spaces. That's what I do for my profession. I cause them. It's my job to create an identity crisis, and my clients eventually love it. But it is the fastest, deepest way to finally express your true self. Because ultimately, I think a lot of times when we switch careers, we get fed up with who we're supposed to be, realize it's not who we really are. And what I have learned is those like little interests, those side things, you know, those weird experiences that maybe they seem universal, maybe they seem personal. Sometimes we can't really tell because we're only seeing them through our own perspective. Yeah. It's turns out that those little inspirations, you know, inspiration in spirit, that's your guidance system telling you this is what you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. And that doesn't always mean do it the way other people are doing it. You know, with the medicine work, yeah, a lot of people go through these like full life transformations, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. And I remember early on, I had a client. If I can share a story.
Yeah, of course, please. More stories, the better.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It wasn't even a client. It was someone that had been referred to me from someone else's ceremony. It was very early in my practice. It was before I even really was like saying I was an integration specialist. But I was getting sent these people. And I guess that's what I was always supposed to do. And she was going through this whole thing because she had a degree, or she had a career in commercial real estate also. And she loved it. She was inspired by it. She went through a series of ceremonies, felt like I finally understand, like I'm an intuitive being in the world, understand that feminine receiving energy, understood like this connection with the universe. It was all very beautiful, warm and fuzzy. And she's like, but the message is that I'm a healer. So like, how am I supposed to reconcile this message that I'm a healer with, I love what I do, but it just seems so incompatible. And I said, it's not incompatible. I'm a healer is who you are. You're meant to heal yourself. We all are. We're all meant to heal ourselves. Well, it's only ourselves who can heal ourselves. No one can heal you. No healer is great enough to do all the work for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no substance is going to do that. You have to do it, right? So as we go through our own inner environment and evolve, you know, we discover we are our own inner healer, but that's a who you are. That's not a what you do. And
right. So
why don't you bring that intuitive, interconnected, warm, fuzzy type of energy into the passion that you have for your career? Because God knows, commercial real estate could use a little bit of spirit, you know? So bring that as your who you are edge and make that something unique about what you do. And she said, okay, I never thought about that. And then I didn't hear from her for a couple of years, completely forgot about it. And then I got a message from her saying something along the lines of, don't quote me, I don't remember exactly. We just broke ground on my state's largest troubled youth center. She had found a way to marry this desire to help and serve and heal with her skill, aptitude, and passion for commercial real estate. And who could have done that except someone like that, you know? So sometimes those transitions don't always look like a change in career. Sometimes they look like a change in a way of being that then changes the way the career is driven. And sometimes it looks like a complete change of career with no identity shift. You know, I think there's so many ways to evolve. And I think at root, we want to go out of what we're told we're supposed to do. And we have access now in our culture in totally unprecedented ways to jobs that didn't exist 5 years ago. We're creating our own jobs. You know, it used to be only professional journalists could get on camera and share their story. And look at us.
Totally.
Amazing. Totally. I love it. I think it's
remember
amazing.
I don't know how old you are, but do you remember that statement? The revolution will not be televised.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Talk about didn't age well.
Right? And here we are televising all of it.
That's great. That's great. And I also wanted to speak to how you talked about, I mean, it goes back into what you were just talking about using your degree. And I think there's a lot, because I come from a liberal arts background, right? I have a fine art degree and a philosophy degree. And I myself have done that many times where I'm like, oh, my degree. But the truth is all of that shapes your identity and all of that informs who you evolve into, right?
Absolutely.
So regardless of even if you wanted to set it down, it's already part of your skill set.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be something that we desire to reject because we want to change. It's something that we can integrate and leverage and appreciate moving forward as part of our life story. Because each unique story brings something new to whatever's next. And, you know, you may have a fine arts background, but you're doing your podcast with your beautiful creations right there on frame with you. I love your painting.
Thank you.
is definitely part of what you're doing. And that perspective, that creativity, that people focus, you're a people, you know, shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, perspective is everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I love your transform, you catalyze identity crises. That's amazing.
It is. It's special.
So I wanted to ask you about your whole, where you were talking about interpreting dreams and interpreting visions. So when you work with people, are you like leading them in like ceremony trance states? Or are you, you know, interpreting experiences that people have already had? Like how does that work when you're working with people?
Oh, I love the question. All of the above. So I find that it's really like three gradients. Gradient one is the ritual ceremony experience. This usually includes a shamanic medicine. That would be a substance, right? Depending on where I am. Like some things are more acceptable than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that is specifically designed to create a trance state. It's not just the medicine that does that work. The shaman also guides that experience and creates the visionary environment. The Buddha's middle road is the hypnosis. Actually, I do a lot of past life regressions. I do guided meditations. Whenever I do like energy healing on someone, I invite them to participate in the process and witness and be part of their own healing experience. I think that's way more powerful than having someone just do the work for you. So
yeah.
I've been doing that a lot, and that comes with a lot of visionary experience. And then phase three is, you know, on the spectrum is I'm getting in people that are coming from other people's programs. And that can be people who have had visions, which is happening a lot more now than before. We talk about it a lot more. It's happening more. Or who have had dream experiences they want to unpack. Sometimes we use that as a form of therapy. Sometimes we just explore the dreamscape. It's very exciting. And also people who have gone through other types of visionary experiences, like sacred medicine ceremonies, for example. They come in to help unpack the process and what happened for them and how they can turn it into something useful. So a little bit of all of it.
So do you think that when you're having quote unquote, a vision, that if it's, do you differentiate between those that are like brought on by either, you know, meditation or some kind of ceremony versus like a spontaneous vision? How do you, you know, are those all equally the same? Do you look for like similarities and try to piece them together into a like a cohesive whole? I wouldn't say a narrative because that's not really a thing, but do you prioritize the different visions based on context differently?
What an interesting question. Wow. And I love how you say that. Yeah, what one narrative, right? You're so funny. The context is relevant. How it occurred does matter. For example, if you are preparing for 6 weeks to go into a visionary ceremony experience and you have a very specific intention and, you know, what's going to come up is going to be a result of that. So context matters. If you're going through your life and you suddenly just have an experience that's intense and you don't know how to unpack it, then that context also matters. It's a reflection of what the intention is at the time, which may be a little bit harder to suss out actually,
mm-hmm.
but because it's not as clear. I came in and I was saying this mantra during my ceremony and then like, obviously there it is. But sometimes there's something a little bit underneath there that we have to dig down into to find the real meat of what's going on. But I don't find any one or the other any less relevant, meaningful, or important. We have all had a bad dream that just like buggers us up for the whole day. And all of us can remember a nightmare that really just still haunts us a little bit, you know, and for people who have them consistently, it can be traumatizing, actually. It's a really severe problem with mental health. So, you know, whether it's a dream or whether it is a visionary state or whether it's a spontaneous vision, the truth is we can make more space for all of them in our lives. We can cause them to occur more often. And when we do mm-hmm. have them, sometimes that's the ask, that's the mind trying to say to you, or whatever it is you believe in, angels, spirits, whatever, I'm trying to tell you something. You can have that conversation and open that door a little bit, you know. But even when they are spontaneous, no less relevant or important. When they're intentional, no
right.
more or less relevant or important.
Right.
They're all part of the human
yeah.
experience. You know, it's all relevant.
That was just part one of my interview with Kat Rambo. Stay tuned. Check out part two. We've got even more to get into.
Thanks for watching today. I'm glad you watched the whole thing. If you could do us a favor, it would help so much if you hit subscribe. It helps give us just a little boost to keep this podcast going. Thank you.